verde.
Hello everybody, little bit cuties! How are you all? I feel like we haven't had a chat in a while, just like us, do you know what I mean? Like it's been very, like when I decided to do, for season two, I was going to do guests. It was only really because I'd made like loads of new connections and I was just like, oh, it'd be fun to just like have a chat with them, if you get what I mean. So I reckon next week I'm not going to have a guest. I just want to do an episode like back to normal, if you get what I mean. I don't have that many guests lined up. It just happened that like, I just wanted to like start off. I wasn't planning to do this whole season with guests and stuff. I mean, I guess I could do if you all like that. But sometimes I prefer like every now and again to just have a chat with just us. Do you know what I mean? This episode has a guest. So I don't know why I'm talking on as if it doesn't. And it's an amazing guest, it's Lucy Edwards. You might recognise her from such things as...
How does a blind girl know what's in a jar?
And I've just finished chatting with her in real lifetime, and it was amazing. And it's honestly one of, like, the cooler, like, interviews. All the people that I've had on have been sick. Cheryl Hall was sick. Tia Coffee was sick. Oh my God, Tia Coffee tweeted me today. She tweeted, like, when am I putting Max Belegdae in drag? And I was like, yes. Big fat, yes, absolutely, get that in my face, get it in my face, get that in my fucking face, that's what I like, instead of get it out, I was saying get it in, fuck, I've just pressed some on here,
get what's that happening? Out of my face,
oh, there it is, but yeah, so I just thought I'd have a little bit of a chat, no meaning behind this episode, because, you know, I have, like, other topics and stuff that I want to cover, but the conversation that me and Lucy have is just so in-depth and so cool and so interesting that I kind of want it to just be a standalone, if you get what I mean. So I just thought I'd give you a, just have a bit of a chat. Just have a bit of a big, big fat chat, really. To be honest with you, when it gets down to it at the end of the day, I just want to have a big fat chat with you, if that's all right. I just want to have a big fat chat with you, if that's okay. Let me know if that's okay, then nod. Are you nodding right now? You're not nodding. Nod. I can see you. I can literally see you right now. Nod. Okay? No. If you don't do it, I swear to fucking God. I swear to fucking God if you don't nod right now. There we go. What's that? Yeah. That's what I bloody thought. I don't know why I did that. Sorry, everybody. Right. So I just thought I'd give you a cheeky little update. What have I done since I last spoke to you? I last spoke to you last week. But then again, yeah. It were nosebleed fits. How unreal is nosebleed fits, everybody? Just honestly, a bit of a cheer. Bit of a cheer for nosebleed fits. She really is just unreal. Oh, she's going places, that girl. Her outlook on life is just so, like, interesting. And she's so intelligent. And, yeah, buzzing for her. And buzzing to be getting to know her more. Because she's really fun. And she's a good friend. And she's really nice. So, yeah. That's lovely. What else have I done? Oh, I went on another date this weekend. Oh, yes, I did. Went on another date. I've been making TikTok. I've changed up my TikToks a little bit recently. I haven't done one with, like, a picture background that I usually do with, like, my microphone and in my mouth and everything from my headphones in a while. Just because I've preferred just, like, doing little vlogs. I like to, like... So I always used to love YouTube, like, watching YouTubers' vlogs. And I've considered, like... Oh, should I have set up a YouTube channel? Like, should I do it, maybe? But I just can't be arsed. Like, TikTok is so easy because it's literally minute-long videos. And I just go about my normal day and film for, like, 10 seconds at a time. And then, like, in an hour, film again. Like, oh, I'm sat in the park now. And it clips together and it's actually quite interesting. I love doing them. I really love doing the little vlogs. But yeah, I went on a date, so yeah, I've like vlogged the getting ready experience for that. And people are saying like they're seeing like different sides to me. I hope you all realise I'm not always like just like shouty and manic. Like I do, I can be like quite chilled. Not very often. Well, I feel like people who know me would probably disagree with that, to be honest. But I can be like relatively like chill. but I am most of the time just full on, like, yeah. But yeah, I went on a date and that was really cutie. We went to Kensington Gardens, which is like this, like, fancy park. And I organised it all, and I made, and I surprised him and came, like, really well prepared. Because basically, because I love it when, well, I've said this before, I think, on here. I always end up being the person, like, in a relationship that, I always, like, love doing, like, little, just, like, little, like, nice surprises that make someone feel good. Do you know what I mean? And it never really gets done for me, but I like doing it. Just like little thing, like for example, I just texted him like, oh, I'll sort the food, don't worry. And then I'd like secretly like prepared loads of stuff and like made chocolate covered strawberries and stuff. And it's just like seeing the smile on someone's face when you do that. And like I got like bottles of Prosecco, and it didn't cost much altogether. Well, actually, to be fair, it did, because I got it all in Waitrose. It cost like 40 quid. But the money doesn't like really mean anything, like. For me, like, the cutest thing that I did, and I don't know why I'm saying it as if, like, it was, like, the best thing ever, but, like, just, like, making, like, chocolate-covered strawberries, something like that, like, it shows that you've actually put effort in, and it's really cute, and, yeah, I always end up being the person. And I don't mind it, like, I feel like I'm not complaining that I'm, like, the one doing it for him and stuff, you know, because, like, especially in, like, a gay relationship, I feel like it's pretty even, stuff like that. Like, maybe in a straight relationship, it's like, oh, it's expected that the boy will do stuff for the girl, but in a gay relationship, I don't know if you know, but we're both boys or we're both girls. So, yeah, so that kind of, like, those, like, gender stereotypes kind of don't come into it. So I've never minded it, but it would be nice if that happened to me, I guess, and I'm sure it will do at some point in my life. But yeah, I don't really mind it. I love like doing little cutie things for someone, and yeah, so he's proper nice, and that is fun, and we're just seeing what happens, really, just carrying on, just plowing through and seeing what happens. But yeah, that was lovely on the weekend, and this week, so it's only fucking Monday, and I'm saying like this week. But I'm just been so stressed out, guys. I nearly had a panic attack today. I had to literally, I was like wanting to ring that boy that I'm speaking to. I keep saying to him, like, that boy that I'm speaking to, just because, like, we know what, well, I just don't want to, I don't know. I don't want to, like, put anything out there until I know for a fact that we're going to be, like, do you know what I mean? Because we all know that I've big fat embarrassed myself, especially on this podcast. Remember that time when I was declaring my undying love for this boy for like 2 weeks, and then it all went tits up. Literally after that episode, I put it out, and then I went to go and see him the next day, and we broke up. And it was crazy. And then since then, he's been begging for me back. But no, I'm joking. He's a really lovely boy. No hate to him. I'm joking. That was just like a sassy comment. If he's listening, that was just like a... I don't even know. I'm on a tangent. Sorry, guys. I'm so exhausted. I can't tell you. This, my work schedule, like, in case you all don't know, I have like a full-time job outside of like anything else that I do. And it's been so hectic. And I've started doing more things with like social media and stuff. And like, constantly replying to emails, doing like other little projects, and like filming ads, all stuff that I'm 1,000,000% grateful for. Like, I cannot tell you how cool it is that like a company will pay me to do like a video for them for like a minute, and they pay me quite a lot of money. Like, what the fuck? That it makes no sense to me, because like, who the fuck is coming to Max Bellick Day for like advice on how to do the maths homework? But I am not complaining.
Get that out my face.
Oh no, I'm pressed the wrong
one. I just want to be me.
Like, I'm not complaining at all. I'm so grateful. You have no idea. But I'm just really tired. Like, I genuinely am. Like, I look at my week and I'm like, right, okay, so you have work. You might have to work a little bit late on the Monday. And then after it, you'll, like, sort your calendar out for the week. Maybe, like, reply to emails. God knows what. Like, maybe, like, and I enjoy filming TikToks and stuff. So, like, maybe I'll do that for a bit. and then I need to go out, I need to go and get some food, and then I need to come back, I need to make my tea, and then before I know it, it's literally like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm like, where has this day gone? Then the next day, right, so I'm filming my podcast with somebody today, so after work I need to sort all of that out, because I need to like prepare to interview someone, you can't just like show up, I need to like research on them, like whatever. I just like plan questions to ask them, and then I had to do that on the Tuesday night, and then that literally takes up my whole night, because I'm planning it all out, and then I have to set everything up, sort it out, and then that day is over. Then the next day I film my parts of the podcast, which as we know have been quite small recently, so that's fine. But then it's like, if I want any sort of a social life, it's like, when's that going to happen? And I know that it's like lockdown, but I could still like go and see people, like go on dates with that boy and whatever. And like when I see my sister, can't really like the I'm just, and then it's Friday again, and I'm like, oh my god, I have not, all I want to do is play Pokemon. I've had an ASOS basket full. Well, I've not. I've been wanting to do an ASOS order for like 3 weeks now, and I've not got round to doing it. And all my clothes are fucking minging. That's the soundboard's quite quiet, isn't it? I think I need to go into the settings and turn him up a bit. Let me turn him up. Oh, no, he's on full volume. Maybe he was just a bit quiet then in my ears. But anyway, like I say, so grateful, so buzzing. No! Oh, there he goes. He's a bit louder now. But I am just exhausted. But it's all doing fun stuff that I love. So it's like that counter thing of like, I don't care because I'm having a great time, but I am proper tired all the time. And as well as that, I cannot exercise because the gyms are closed and I can't do home workouts. I'm in my room in London. Like, I just cannot do it. I'm in so much pain all the time. My body's getting so unhealthy. I'm gaining so much weight. I feel disgusting. And when I can't exercise, my anxiety gets really bad. And today, I just had a panic attack on my lunch break. Like, I just, a minor inconvenience happened after another minor inconvenience after another. And then this TikTok ad that I had wouldn't post. And then this company was getting annoyed at me. And then I literally just had a panic attack and I was like, oh my god, this is horrible. And I had to ring my mum. And it's just because, I think a lot of it is because I can't exercise because I don't have that like stress release, if you get what I mean. But, you know, hopefully it'll all be over soon, guys. And we can just big fat, get our tits out and have a great time. Because that is all that I want to do. I can't tell you. And like another one thing that legitimately gets me through, I'm only saying this because a request just came through right now on my phone, is the cameo request that you lot sent me. That is, I cannot comprehend that you lot, like, will pay me to do a video for you. That is like the nicest thing that I can think of in the world. And you have no idea how much financially that is helping me out. Like, you can get so, like, it's insane. And on top of that, it's a direct opportunity that I have to like interact with you lot, which is so cool, because I'm not like trying to like shag my own ass or anything, but I would love, like, I get so many messages from you lot all the time, and it's weird to me. You have to understand that it's weird to me because I'm not someone that like set out like, oh, I want to be an influencer. Do you know, like, Nosebleed Fitz was saying, she was like, I've wanted to do this, like, blah blah blah, since I was whatever. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but that's not how I like went into this. I just like stumbled across it and it just randomly happened, and then I have like loads of people messaging me every day, like, really lovely things, but I don't know how to like deal with it sometimes, if you get what I mean. And it's like, if I reply to this person, then I feel bad for not replying to this person. And then tomorrow somebody sends me a ridiculously long, like a massive long paragraph. Like, and then I'm like, oh, well, I replied to that person for just saying like, blah, blah, blah. So now I feel like I have to reply to this person. And then before I know it, I'm getting like 90, like it comes up on my phone, like 99 messages on Instagram because I've like accepted them all from my requests. And then I feel like claustrophobic. I can't explain it. It's really weird. But on the other hand, I proper like having a connection with like you lot, and I find it so cool. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast, to like deepen a connection with you all, because I find it so cool that you can have like friends on the internet and whatever. So Cameo for me is literally just like the perfect forum to do that, because I get like your requests in like this neat file, and I get to actually speak to you for like a minute, 2 minutes, and like we have this shared experience, and then it's done. And also, obviously, I get paid for it. Pfft, love that. But yeah, I really like that. Literally, is the bit of my day that I love. So please feel free to request one, but make sure you do it from the website, okay? Because, yeah, we've all heard about Apple. Right, that was just a little life update. Also, I went to the shop just then with the prime reason to get toilet roll and go-ahead bars, and I came back with avocados and tomatoes, so I had to go back to the shop again. Fucking raging. Anyway, right, I hope you're all having a lovely time, a lovely day. Up next, we've got Lucy Edwards. This is How Does a Blind Girl Know What's in a Jar?
How does a blind girl know what's in a jar?
And we're going to discuss everything. And when I say everything, I mean literally, and if you could think of a possible topic that we would discuss about her, blindness, the UK, the world at large, our song, it's all coming up, I guarantee, and she is legitimately a beacon of light and loveliness in this world, and I cannot wait for you all to listen to this delightful conversation that we had. I'll be back again at the end just to round things up, and I will see you shortly. Love you. Hello, everybody. We are here with somebody that I feel like you might have heard her voice somewhere before. I'm not too sure where. Maybe all over the internet, maybe on iTunes, maybe in the charts. I don't know. But here she blooming is, Lucy Edwards.
Hello, sweetie.
Oh, are you okay? Oh, we've got sound effects here. We're very high budget.
You whacked that out.
Oh, honestly, yeah. So you might just hear. Wait, listen.
How does a blind girl know what's in a jar?
Oh, we've got it all. We don't spare no expense here. Absolutely none.
Yes, babe. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, of course. I can't wait. When I said, I did a full first season of my podcast, and I did that, like, finished it just before Christmas, and I pretty much just had me on. I had like little like guests here and there and stuff, but as it's grown, I said for season two I was gonna get guests. So when I tweeted out like, oh, who should I have, guess who was like one of the most like requested. It was like, Lucy, we need to get Lucy. So highly anticipated, and we are here.
We're a bit of a duo at this point, I feel.
I know, literally every single, honestly, Lucy. So I live in London now, and I feel like because it's London and it's like a bigger city, if I like go into the centre, I'm more likely to get stopped by someone like, oh, I know you're from TikTok. And people used to come over and say to me like, oh, I listen to your podcast, or like just like quote a video or something. And now they just scream from like the other side of London Bridge, like, how does a blind girl know what's in a jar? And I'm like, I feel like you can't just shout random sentences like that. Like, what if someone replied like, oh, well, actually they have like a speaker pen, but yeah, they're just really trying to get my attention.
You know what, babe? Like, I feel like that's what there's some randomness to all of this. But I think what we did was shake the internet with beautiful dances and also ability to just be honestly yourself.
Oh, like, absolutely. Oh, honestly, it's like one of the best things that I've ever done in my entire life. It's absolutely brilliant. Everybody's literally obsessed with it. I went, oh, it's crazy, right? So. I'm just going to ask you some, like, just some questions that I just really want to know about you, because I'm nosy, like I said before. So, like I said, you know, we could get deep at times. We might just, you know, this podcast is very unpredictable. We never know what's going to happen. So, right. So, first question, and let me know if this is too personal, if it's too deep, if it's too emotional. A blind girl know what's in a jar?
I love that. That is the pinnacle of what we need to know right now.
I feel like we need to talk about it, because so many people know the video, but they've never like watched past us two just saying that over and over again. So I feel like, go on, enlighten us. I've seen the video and it's amazing, but enlighten the listeners.
I will do, babe. So basically, there is several ways that a blind girl can know what's in a jar. One of them was the video. So where I have audio labels, I stick them on my jar.
Yeah.
And then my lovely fiance goes mint sauce into it. And then I hover over with my speaker pen. And then it speaks the mint sauce at any time that I would like. Morning, noon and night. It depends when you have your mint sauce. Not judging. And then you just hover over and then there you go. Then there's Ollie's music, who's my fiance. His dulcet tones always coming out the pen. So
Really cool. So it's Ollie's voice on the video and everything. Oh.
On the little label, it's on it. So what he does, he literally clicks this record button, he goes mint sauce, and then he taps it to this little sticker on the thing. It's quite clever, really. And then after that, it kind of just it is pre-recorded then, and every time I hover over just randomly over this sticker, it just goes mint sauce, whatever he recorded to it. So it's real cool.
It is genuinely really cool. Like when I, because lots of people would say it to me, and then my friends were like, how actually does she? Like, I feel like that's a really good point. And I was like, watch the video. Honestly, you need to get following Lucy. It's madness. Oh, honestly brilliant.
Honestly as well though, like another way that you can do it is just put a braille label on, just like a old-fashioned braille label, which is our tactile language for the blind, which you just feel with your fingers. But the fact that I did that on I've just done a Reese's commercial with Reese's eggs, and I actually did that method of the jar, and literally in the comment section was just like, now I know how a blind girl knows what's in the jar. I was stuffing my head up, but that's the other way.
Oh, it's brilliant.
How does a blind girl know what's in a jar?
We've finally got an answer. That's how. Oh, it's great. Lucy, where are you from, by the way? Because I was trying to like suss your accent, but I can't put my finger on it.
I'm from Birmingham. I'm from the Midlands. Wow. But North Birmingham, somewhere called Sutton Coldfield. That's where I grew up. But now I live in Milton Keynes, because before the pandemic, before our lives went crazy, I was in London like 3 to 5 times a week, like doing different things, like presenting and reporting and different stuff, because I'm a trained journalist. So that's been amazing, really. That's why I moved to Milton Keynes.
So exciting. You literally have such a cool life.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Do you have any like siblings at all?
You know what I do? I have a gorgeous sister who's actually 15 months younger than me, and it's just the two of us. And she looked like, honestly, babe, when I tell you, like, she has described hours and hours and hours of makeup tutorials to me that would have otherwise been inaccessible. And that's how I can do my makeup. So, she's just beautiful.
Oh, what a legend. Because I was going to say, like, if you had, I was like, oh my God, imagine if Lucy has like a younger, like, sibling. I was thinking more like a child, and they would probably think, I have the coolest, like, older sister in the entire world. But yeah, I'm sure that your sister's probably just like, oh yeah, so like Lucy thinks she's famous, like, oh my God. But yeah.
Do you have a sister, don't you, honey? Is that what your sister's like?
I have a younger sister who's like 13, but she's, so if like the TikTok like surge and like fame would have happened like probably about 2 years ago, I think she would have found it really cool. But now she's 13 and she hates everything and everyone. So she's just like, ew. Like, and she like pretends that it doesn't exist. And like, and all her friends like ask her about it. And she's just like, what you want about? Like, it's stupid. But yeah.
I saw your tweet, because your tweets are iconic. And I was just like, oh, I love it so much. And like, I saw it. Yeah, you're just amazing. Like,
is this just going to be, do I have a what?
Good relationship with her.
Oh yeah, definitely. I have two sisters. One that's, we're all quite like different in age. My older one is 29 and my younger one's 13. So we're quite like spaced out. I always say my mum had children really weirdly. Like as soon as one was able to fend for itself, she was like, right, I'll have another one and make my life worse. But she seems to have enjoyed it. I think she likes her children, so hopefully. I'll have to ask her, but I'm assuming
fingers crossed.
Yeah. But so when you were younger and you're growing up in Birmingham, what were you like as a child, like in school? Were you like creative? Because a lot of the stuff that you do now is like very creative. So this, like, would you be able to have been able to tell when you were younger that you would end up doing something like this?
Yeah, like, I think that's such an interesting question. I mean, my sister's a musician, so she's like grade 8 saxophone, but she never like wanted to kind of like present her ability to do music. So I was always like her front man, like her presenter. I would like, we'd do like little talent shows when we were younger. Yeah. I'd burst out the curtains with a hairbrush and she'd be behind me and I'd be like, and now it's Alice Edwards.
I pressed the button by accident. That terrified me. Oh my gosh, I was supposed to press this. Oh wow, that just terrified me then. Oh my gosh. So you and your sister have always just been like a bit of like a duo and a double act, really?
Yeah, like, honestly, she's my life. And I just also think, like, I think going through sight loss as a young girl kind of did make me question like who I was and who I was going to be, because it was just a crazy adjustment. So I think, you know, I kind of didn't find myself until I got over kind of the grief and loss of my sight. So to be honest, like, I started uploading to YouTube when I didn't feel like there was any sort of disability representation online. I didn't see any blind girls or any blind boys for that matter, or any blind folks, you know, we've got to be inclusive on the internet at all. And you know, it made me sad and I wanted to find my people. So that, like when I was 17, a video called Blind Girl Does Her Own Makeup went viral on YouTube, and then I'd trained to be a journalist, and then from then on it was kind of my life.
Wow, that is like such, honestly, your story is just absolutely mental. How old were you when you began to lose your sight, and if you don't mind explaining, how did it happen?
Yeah, no worries. So I started to kind of like know that I had a condition. Well, my parents did at age 4 when they saw that I had like these blistering at the backs of my legs. And my parents were really worried because they kept putting cream on it and they were like, this is not going, sister. So they took me to this consultant. It was very traumatic at the time, I'm sure. But like, he basically... like this skin doctor who is now actually my best friend's partner's dad, which is just
weird.
Yeah, it's weird that he diagnosed my condition, incontinenti pigmenti, really long word, but just running you through the years, like, I didn't know that was going to affect my eyes, neither did my family. It's a rare genetic condition passed down the female line of my genes. And at age 8 years old, I just went for a routine eye check. I don't think I even wanted to go. Like, I think my mom was bribing us with McDonald's or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, come on. And then the ophthalmologist basically said, like, rush your daughter to Birmingham Children's Hospital. Yeah. And then from then on, my whole life was eye hospital appointments. And then, to be honest, they were monitoring. It's so rare. Like, the consultants didn't know what to do with baby Lucy. They were just like, I don't know what's going on. I had this like bleeding at the back of my eye, but to be honest, it sounds painful. It wasn't. It was just, you know, when you get a camera flash and then it flashes in your eyes and then you can't get rid of that thing that keeps following your eyelids.
Yes.
It's so nice. I call those floaters. And basically, I had them from literally age 11 to forever. Like, I had them my whole childhood, and they just got more and more and more and more and more, and they sort of populated my vision. And then they'd go away because it was basically it bleeding and then it reabsorbing. It sounds really, but basically, my whole life I was trying to see past these horrible things in my vision. I was trying to swap them away. And then that kind of got worse because there's no current technology that can sort of like almost vacuum up. They can vacuum the bleeding, but they can't sew it up because it'll just bleed again. If you imagine a wound, there's like kind of way, because at the back of your eye. So basically, it's the wallpaper of my eye, which is the retina, peeled off from my eye when I was 11 in my right eye, and then at 17 my left eye. So that's me, really, in a nutshell.
Gosh. Yeah. So you were completely blind from the age of 17?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is... And when this was happening, how were your family reacting? Because I know how my mum would react. She would, like, go crazy. Was it because it was such a long process? Had they kind of, like, got over it or, like, come to terms with it by the time it fully happened? Like, what was that like for them?
Yeah, babe. I think, honestly, to hand on heart, like, I don't think I or my family could have been prepared. Like, I think we were just hoping that I would just have vision for life, because we didn't really know loads about the, you know, anything about the condition. I think there's, like, literally people with IP, I think there's literally only 2,000 in the world, and then those who have eye problems from it, there is literally no literature on it. So basically, I think because we live in a world that really does try and find a cure for illnesses, which I think is brilliant. Like, I love modern medicine. I just think the medical model of disability, which basically says that kind of the person is the problem and not the society we live in. And I think back then, I always looked at myself as, like, kind of the problem, like, that I needed to be fixed. And I think after the shift of my mindset to the social model of disability, and my parents, the world around me is the thing disabling me rather than me being disabled. I'm disabled by my environment. And then once I shifted that mindset, I was kind of, like, a lot more able to process my ability to be quite an independent woman and kind of tackle the things I needed to in order to be successful. So it was that mind shift. And I think you don't really know. There's not loads, like, literally, babe, when I say to you, Guide Dogs UK were the only charity, really, that were kind of there at that moment. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot.
That really is so much, especially so much to go through at 17 years old. That is mental. So did you go through, like, did the NHS provide, like, certain counselling, or even, I was thinking, like, training? Like, would you need training for, like, okay, one day it's a possibility that your sight might completely go. Here are some things that you need, like, some gadgets that you need to know, some, like, tips that you need. Like, was there any preparation for given to you?
Yeah, so I did have, like, cane training. So I had a mobility officer called Terry. Like, I shout her out at any single opportunity because she was amazing. She was,
we,
like,
love you, Terry!
Love you, Terry! She was, like, the single person that, like, got me through that time with cane skills and stuff. But to be honest, like, there's not still one place to go to get info on things, or, like, one set kind of, you know, resource, if you like. And I think you kind of, as a young girl, I was kind of swimming in the, like, I was finding stuff out myself. I was learning to eat, walk, talk, and, like, you know, fend for myself again. Talk quite literally, because I was on so many antidepressants, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I had a mental breakdown.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so it was crazy, honey. And I wouldn't say there was that one resource that was from Birmingham City Council, like, that was on my school. That's how I got Terry, because I had funding from, like, you know, from school environment. I had, like, a care sort of plan put in at school, because obviously for accessing documents and stuff for school work. But no, other than that, it was literally like, I had to fend for myself, and so did my family.
That's insane. Is it any better now? Like, because how, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you now?
Yeah, I'm 25 now.
25, so it's been a full 8 years. Have you, like, witnessed, like, are there now programs in place to help people who, like, have family members that suffer with blindness and stuff?
I would say Look UK are a fantastic charity, and they have, like, a mentor program, and if that was around when I was younger, I would have got so much from that, to older people with sight loss. But to be honest, honey, you know, services are being cut. Like, I heard last that, like, Braille was being cut. Like, at the end of the day, there is a massive problem within the blind community with, like, getting us into work. Like, I am one of the rare ones. I'm not, like, the majority. I'm the minority of person being successful in the workplace. So it's just really sad that, like, we don't have more of an emphasis. I mean, I feel like when I was at school, there wasn't, like, a massive emphasis on, like, there was obviously an emphasis on me going to university, but yeah. a lot of studies show that, like, a lot of blind people are very well educated and go to uni, but then what next, you know?
So it's
honestly an epidemic in itself, I think.
And there's so much further still to go, clearly. To take it back to as you were 17 and you were just about to lose your sight, was there anything in particular that scared you the most about it? That was like the most daunting thing to think, I will not be able to do this one thing?
I think what has always got me is wondering how I would ever see like big moments in my life. And I talk about this a lot, like on YouTube and stuff, like I just like not being able to see anyone's face anymore really did scare me. And I think it's even something now that like haunts me, like I can't, because I've tried to refresh the memory of like my fiance, and because I did see him before I lost my eyesight 2 months into my blindness, sorry 2 months into our relationship I went blind. And you know, you just try and refresh that memory so much, and then because you can't look at it again to refresh it, it's almost like you Max looking at a photo from like when, like 8 years ago, and then putting it in a drawer and not being able to open that drawer or look at that thing. You've only got that memory of that photo.
It would go so fast.
Yeah, literally. So
that's absolutely mental. Like, there's just so many things that as a sighted person, you don't think about very often. And like you said, it is kind of a responsibility of everybody to acknowledge those things. And what did you mention before? Like a social view of disability?
Yeah, so like it's the medical versus social model. So the medical model says that like I need to be cured, and I need to be fixed, and I am kind of the burden almost. Whereas the social model says that the world needs to become more accessible. The world is the thing that is debilitating me, that is, you know, depriving me of access. And if the world just changed their view on things, I wouldn't be a disabled woman anymore. I would be an able woman. I mean, just for,
that's absolutely
like,
true.
The one thing that I do really preach about is like universal design. And you know me, I'm always rabbiting on about my iPhone all the time.
It's but, brilliant like, though. Honestly, the videos that I've seen, I'm like, I had no idea how like good the iPhone was for things like that. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, honestly, babe, like it's the best. And it's just proving that like, we're totally normal. And like, it's not my fault that my eyeballs don't work. They just happen not to work one day. And like, I tried navigating it as well. And as I said, like, I had to deal with a lot myself. And then I just whacked out my iPhone and like see what it could do. And I just kept playing until I clicked buttons, until stuff worked and stuff was accessible. So yeah, it's me really.
It is like, it is so true that it is society's responsibility to sort it out. And like, fingers crossed with more people like you, we're getting in that direction, because I can't tell you, I've gone from like on TikTok, because I just make like usually just stupid videos of me just like walking about and doing whatever on TikTok. And then when this whole thing happened, I was tagged in so many videos of like young disabled children saying, I remember there was this one video in particular, and this girl was saying, I've never posted my face on here. And she was like, and I never talk about how I'm blind. She looked like she was about 7 or 8 years old. And she was like, but this song and everything has like made me want to, like, she was like, I feel like it's like cool. And I was like, that literally meant more to me than anything else that happened to us. Yeah. I couldn't, so I imagine from your perspective, you deal with things like that coming towards you all the time. So you just have to know that the impact that you're having is huge, and it's still growing, and it's going to bloody carry on growing.
Oh, honey, honestly, honey pie, like, that's what I think. Like, we made a movement there, like, with your dancing.
Definitely.
And you making that's so viral with you, with your like charisma and amazingness of you, and me with that crazy jar thing. Like, I just think like if I saw that when I was a little girl, I would not have been scared to be blind. Like, yeah, it was a trauma, but what I deal with, Max, on a day-to-day basis is not me thinking that I hate myself because I'm blind. I deal with the trauma of, like, that one moment, obviously, of having sight and not. But if the world accepted me more, and if it was just normal, quote unquote, what is normal anyway, but if it was normal just to be blind and we were everywhere and we had songs like How Does the Blind Know What's in a Jar, I would not have hated myself for so many years. Like, I would have came out as blind so much quicker and loved myself who I am, you know?
And that's so powerful, because that same message is, I feel like it's a very much more widespread message nowadays of just representation matters so much in ways that you wouldn't even think it does. Like, seeing yourself represented as a young person makes a huge difference to how you grow up to be and how proud of you yourself that you are. So honestly, Lucy, you're a big fat smashing it.
Who are you? Oh my God, your whole thing. Like, you just... Also, I just want to point out, like, when you just say, oh yeah, I just do silly videos. No, Max, like, you make me smile every single day. Oh,
thank you.
Never stop. Like, you, just because, like, you're not going, how does a blind girl do this, that, and the other, doesn't mean you're not making an impact. So, yeah, you're big fat smashing it as well.
Thank you so much, Lucy. Oh gosh, this is brilliant. Right, so going back to, like, things that you've said, like, when it first happened, that, like, was like, made you scared and things like that. When you did go blind, what were some of the things, like, the everyday struggles that you instantly came across?
Wow. So, literally, like, I remember just being in my bed, because I had this surgery that basically, like, sorry if anyone's squeamish, but just a bit of a, like, an FYI, like, it's, I'm going to talk about, yeah. But, I had my eye cut open, basically, for them to try and save the remainder of my sight. And I remember, literally, like, not being able to wash my hair for, like, weeks, which is just grim. And I was, like, sitting my head down on this, like, pillow for, like, I think a good month, basically, because I had this silicone bubble in my eye that was trying to press my retina down. Anyway, cut a long story short, like, I was trying to, like, deal with that, but then also, like, waking up from it and having the kind of surgery sort of revealed to me, because one minute I'm kind of sitting in a hospital bed sort of seeing some things, but my retina detaching, but then waking up with, like, even less, and, like, me not really being aware that I would have that little vision when I woke up. I thought that would save it all. Kind of was my thing, and I didn't know I'd have as little, but he was going, how many fingers am I holding? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. So I think it was the trauma of that kind of kept me in bed for so long. But I think also, like, learning how to be a guide dog owner and, like, trusting my little Olga. Like, at the time I was like, how am I going to trust a 2-year-old dog to guide me everywhere? That's just so weird. Like, it's a dog. Not that I don't love Olga, now I understand how.
Yeah.
But, like, at the time, you're like, how does that dog even do that, you know?
Yeah.
And as an 18-year-old, you're like, wait, I have to wait for my dog to poo before I go to school, huh? You know, so.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, that. And then it was, like making a drink, like, making my own drink, like, making my own food, like going near a gas hob. Like, all of those things were so scary.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, all of those things I do on TikTok, and a lot of people are like, how can you do that? That's so scary. And honestly, like, that's how I felt, babe. Like, literally just having my eyes ripped away from me. I was literally like, oh my God, day one, how on earth do I do this? And I feel how scared the commenters are, because I was that person 8 years ago. But what I want to tell people is that I don't have that, I don't feel scared anymore, because it's my day to day. Like, I do it every day. Like, I wouldn't recommend someone whack on a blindfold and do it, like, it is scary. But if you do it every day more, you know?
Yeah, so, it just becomes, it's like your new normal, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
That's insane, though. So. You must have come over, overcome so many things. And do you find, like, in the jar video, you mentioned the speaker pen. Do you find that without little gadgets like that, like, you would massively struggle? Or do you think that you've, like, got to a point now where, like, you could live your everyday life without little things like that?
No, I 110% need all those things. And honestly, like, without them, my life is so, like, dark. Like, I just think back to, like, not knowing about that technology, or, like, like, how did blind people kind of survive? Like, I'm really thankful that I'm a blind person that has always had their iPhone and these accessible apps. But there was a time, like, 5-6 years ago when there weren't these apps around. And, I mean, even now, Max, to be honest, like, I still have to, like, it takes me hours with my fiance to label things. Like, it, I don't want to point at the negatives because I'm so not about being negative. I want to tell people that it is positive, but the world has such a long way to go. Like, I still walk into supermarkets and, you know, restaurants and, like, drugstores, like, you know, going to get shampoo, conditioner, makeup. Like, I walk in and I can't do it on my own. Whereas if everything had Braille on it, then my life, or, like, any tactile lines on the floor, like, so I could run over with my cane and my cane would feel where I am in the shop, like, and Braille signs, like that would be an accessible world to me, you know? So, you know, there is these apps that I can't live without, but I still want to, I strive for better as well.
Absolutely. Like, there's such a long way to go. And do you think that the issue is funding as far as, like, innovation with things like that go?
I think it's funding to an extent, because, like, a lot of these companies that are fitting the bill at the moment are specialists, like rehabilitation, like mobility aids, like specialists that deal with just blind tech. So, like, you know, for me to live my day to day, people go, oh my gosh, that must be so expensive. And it is. It's like, for a disabled person to live, it's like 500 and something pound extra a month, because if you imagine all of the taxis, if I don't know where I am, I have to get a taxi. If I, you know, we have a navigation app called Aira, and it's 60 something pound a month to, like, ring a qualified professional, because that's how, if I don't know where I am, I ring Aira, and they like say, oh, you're here on Google Maps, or they can book a taxi for you, or, you know, all the bank, like, if banking just had Braille cards, or, like, these big corporations put funding towards just it's about universal design, basically, babe. I could go on about this forever, but basically, like, it's a bit of both. It's like the blind charities are footing the bill at the moment, and I think as long as we sort of say, well, no, like, everyone needs to be in this, it's not an us against them anymore, it's everyone for everyone, and all humans are equal. That needs to be the approach, really.
And I think the place where like a disability like blindness might find the most difficulty is that a lot of people, it's not really on the radar of life until it happens to them or someone really close to them. And because that in itself is quite rare, people, like, obviously don't see the importance of having that representation and that visibility and that extra steps that we need to just do, really. It's not like we don't know about it, because we know that putting, like, you are the first blind person that I've ever really spoken to, I think. But I still know what Braille is, and I didn't realize that there wasn't Braille on everything. Like, I was just having this conversation. I thought, to me, it's like, oh, like, I touch my Sky remote and that has Braille on it. I just make assumptions, like, oh, but it's not. And there are other things, like you say, just putting little things on the floor that would be massively helpful to someone's life. Like, the quality of life is just challenged so much more, and you've got to do so much to get to that same level that everybody else does. And like you said, it goes back to the fact that we take, like, a medical view of disability instead of a social one. And I think that we need to start making that bloody change.
Yes, babe, we're doing
and doing
it.
Things like this is getting there. All these people listening right now, I bet you're educating so many people just listening to this now.
Oh, thanks, babe. But no, this is the thing. Like, I honestly, as well, like, you totally put your finger on it. Like, this is the thing. I knew nothing about disability until I became a disabled woman. And why would you, babe? Like, it's nothing to feel ashamed about. Like, I just didn't know. I had to educate myself. I still do, like, day to day. Like, oh, how'd you do that? You know? So it's no one's fault, and no one should feel guilty about just assuming, because I think I would. Like, I'd probably assume loads of stuff about different communities, or, like, different disabilities even, that I'm not in the minority group for. So it's no one's fault. But now we know about it, I think once we know, we need to take action.
Absolutely. And it is just spreading that awareness. And that's exactly what we are doing today. And that's what you're doing with your entire platform. And you're doing an amazing job.
Thanks.
So as far as like your gadgets and stuff that you've got, is there a favorite that you've got, or is that just your phone?
Yeah, I think literally, like, I'm such an Apple girl. Like, if they're listening to this right now, like, I would like to be sponsored. I am literally
Mr. Apple, are you listening?
I'm not ashamed to say it, babe. Like, literally, like, I love them so much. So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
no, it's brilliant. I have it on good authority that the CEO of Apple actually does listen to this podcast. So, I'm sure that they'll be in contact soon. And with those gadgets in mind, have you ever had a moment where you have thought of an idea and you were like, I wish that this existed, I want to make this, or anything like that?
Yeah, so like, as you know, like, I absolutely love makeup, and my whole world is like, from this 8 years that I've spent being a blind person, I tried to find Lucy again. And how I found her was like sitting through, like, doing so much stuff with my sister. And she's a self-taught makeup artist, and she taught me. And I just, like, if I could get to a place where I was educating makeup brands way more on accessible packaging, or like, you know, developing something where it was completely accessible to blind people, like, maybe, I think my dream really is to have an accessible makeup line with Braille and all sorts of stuff. And
See that for you, Lucy. I see it in your horizon. Honestly, more than ever this past year, have, like, with the all the movements that have happened, like with Black Lives Matter, I think more recently we're currently in one about women's rights and stuff after everything that happened with Sarah Everard. And I have seen like the word, like, disabled people thrown in with like different prejudices that people have. Like, we need to be more aware of Black lives. We need to be more aware of disabled lives. And for like the last couple of years, I'd never really seen that anywhere. But even just on my timeline, I've seen things like that. So I think your just existence, and if everybody just keeps pushing it, and if we spread the word to people that it isn't directly impacting, then I think that's how we're going to make a big fat difference.
Honestly, honey, like, it warms my heart to think that it's on your timeline too, because I think that I've really seen it, definitely. Like, just, I feel like the ground is, like, quivering. Like, it's coming. Like, I can feel the ripples. Yeah.
100%. We're all, especially Gen Z, we're all just, like, so hyper aware of, like, each other's emotions and, like, like, nobody wants to upset anybody. So I think spreading, like, the word is only going to be beneficial in the future. And I think that you're going to grow to see, like, full generations of disabled people that have such, like, more opportunities from a younger age because of the work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you, honey. Like, you're gonna make me cry. Like,
you are smashing it. So you said that you learned Braille. How long did it take you to learn Braille?
Oh my god. So, like, when I was a young girl, like, I kind of made it my mission to learn it, because I think it's so important for just like script reading and stuff, like, especially as like TikToker and presenter. Like, I love like writing notes, so I thought, you know, I've got to read and write. So it kind of took me around 6 months when I was younger, but that's kind of because I always learned like print and like ABCD to like seeing it, you know, words on a page with my sight. There's grade one and there's grade two. So grade one is like every single letter as you would type it on a QWERTY keyboard. Right. And that's what I love reading that. But like, obviously there's then contracted Braille, so it doesn't take up as much of a page. And like, if I was better with my time, I could probably learn that. But in my head, it kind of just doesn't make as much sense because I was sighted before. Like,
So you've got like an understanding of how like a page like of words normally looks.
So like, my natural instinct is to like write every single letter, because that's what I've always done. So Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, for instance, in grade two, like, and, for, of, the, with, they're all different symbols. So, like, and's one, for was
oh,
one.
Oh, okay.
And so they're all contracted. But in my head, like, I'd sort of know those because I did them as a young girl. But, like,
yeah,
my inclination is, yeah, to write it all out.
Oh, well, I it's so interesting learning things like this. And, like, one question that I thought, what, as you lose sight, or, like, one of your senses, do your other senses get heightened?
Yeah, so, basically, with that, I would say that when I listen to things, I'm a lot more, like, in tune with it. So I would say I have the same hearing as you or my fiance or anyone who's kind of able-bodied, but I kind of just listen to it more, and I feel like
like you just pay attention more because you're like kind of pushed towards doing that.
Yeah. I think my brain's rewired somewhat because I don't use like the visual cortex of my brain, so it must be going a bit towards helping my ears. Hopefully, anyway. So I like to think.
It is so true though. Like, if you're like, I've done like ASMR, like things where you're supposed to put both headphones in and then it feels like you're getting a haircut or something based on like the sounds, and you close your eyes to do it and you can literally feel your ears twitching, like with how much more aware you are of the use. Yeah. And stuff.
Yeah.
But I've read like some of the questions that people sent in. People were like, could you smell from really far away? I was like, she doesn't turn into like a bloodhound like that can like suddenly solve crimes by like sniffing things from, she's not like, all right, come on, follow this scent. Like, I would imagine. Go on.
Yeah, but you know what, babe? Like, I agree. But isn't that so interesting that, like, the kind of misconception, quote-unquote, is that, because I think in the media, there's been this sort of narrative for so long that, like, disabled people are, like, almost, like, superhuman or, like, you know, are the only people that have really been on people's screens who are blind is Daredevil. So, of course, people are going to think that, like, I'm more, like, superhero, or, like, when they listen to a story or read a story on whatever news outlet, I am always kind of, well, disabled people are kind of painted as the inspiration. So, like, again, like, I don't blame someone for that, but equally, like, crazy that people think that now that I'm kind of blind myself.
Like, how on earth could you come to that conclusion? But then, like you say, it comes with lack of representation, lack of knowledge, because it's not in the media and it's not in shops and it's not like put in your face every day as it probably will definitely should be. So you mentioned before that your visual memory starts to go. Now, do you remember what like your friends and family look like?
So I would say, like, this isn't like an official stat or anything, but I definitely believe in it in my own personal experience. I mean, other blind people are different and blindness is a spectrum and all that other stuff that I always say, because I just think it's really important to advocate for other sight loss. Like, I am the minority of blind people. Like, I literally have total darkness pretty much. And, you know, that's like 10% of all blind people are kind of like me with them. I say I'm a total. But, anyway, so I joke about it. But no, I think in terms of like seeing and remembering people, I really do believe that visual memory has like 7 years properly, like until it fades. And I really, like, I honestly think that stuff started fading after 5, maybe 4 years for me, but like truly faded completely only over the past year. Like, So I don't think I remember anything.
No. And is that I would imagine that's probably one of the main things that would bother me if it happened to me. Is that something that, like, if you could, that you would just want to do that?
Oh, honey, 110%. Like, I kind of don't, like, all the other stuff, like when I'm doing counseling or whatever with my counselor, she's lovely, like, that's the one thing other than like the trauma of like sight loss I do go back to and like talk about, because, you know, I do think to like my fiance's face now and then maybe like my wedding day, like I'm gonna make it the best ever, but inevitably I am gonna think about what I look like. And I did my dress with Gok Wan and everything, and it was amazing. Like, I don't want to undermine the experiences of that I've had already, because they're very real, and I will have an amazing day. I feel so positive about that, but what are my kids' faces going to look like? You do sort of slip into that, like, what if, you know? So,
of course, yeah, like anybody would, but, like, you just have to know that you have so many people behind you, and in this, like, if it never happened, I can't even begin to imagine. You have over 1 million followers, approaching 2 million followers. Like, the amount of people's lives that you have probably changed, you must be able to look at something like that and be like, to an extent, do you know what? Come at me. Like, you've thrown your worst at me, and look what I've done with it. So get lost.
Yeah. No, honestly, honey, like, that is the one thing that I'm proud of, that I was able to overcome my, you know, chronic depression and you know, basically having a mental breakdown, and also the chronic pain I suffer every day. But, you know, I don't want to let it bother me. It's not all of Lucy. My disability is one part of me. But what it has done is, you know, make other people aware. And, you know, I wouldn't be Lucy without my blindness. That's why I love being blind, you know.
Yeah. So, you're amazing. Icon. An icon. So when did you start TikTok? So you said that you got, like, an interest in YouTube and everything. Have you always been on social media, or is it literally just, like, recently that you got TikTok? Or when was it? I don't even know when it was.
So I've been hanging around the socials for a while, and I've always done YouTube, like, on and off. But my TikTok was like, my sister-in-law came around when restrictions were kind of lifted, and she was like, Luce, do this TikTok dance, come on, babe, like, get up off the sofa. I'm like, Phoebs, do I really have to? Like, get up, like, do it. And she was like, place some hands on it. I was like, what is TikTok? I didn't even know what TikTok was. That must have been like June.
Yeah, oh,
June,
wow, July. So it's been really recent then.
Yeah, literally, like, June, July last year. Like, get on there. And then I heard about Learn on TikTok. I was like, right, I'm doing it. And then, August, I was on there, and it just went crazy. I can't even explain to you. And it's just my dream, absolute dream.
That's insane. Yeah. Like, wow. Yeah. I cannot believe how fast it's grown for you then. That is insane. Because I started in March of last year, and I started with, like, no intention of, like making videos or, like, getting followers or anything. I got it, so my little sister had it for years, because it used to be called Musical.ly, and then it became TikTok, and my friends were saying to me, they were like, Matt, you need to get this app. I was like, I am not getting TikTok. I was like, my little sister has that app. There is no chance I'm getting on that and doing all these dances. I was like, that is not me anytime soon. No. Yeah. And then they were like, oh, no, get it. Do you remember Vine?
Yes.
Yeah. They were like, oh, it's like Vine. It's like a long form, like, version of Vine. So I was like, all right, then, fine, I'll get it. And then I was like, whoa, this is well funny. And then I just started making videos one day, and then it just, like, carried on and on and on from there. But I'm very much just make videos, like we said, of me just, like, plodding along and doing whatever. But I cannot believe how quickly it's grown for you then. And but that goes to show how little representation there is.
Yeah, probably. But, like, I guess it was just my niche, wasn't it? And, like, doing everyday things.
Like, you clearly have, like, a really fun and, like, vibrant personality and stuff, which I'm sure helped along the way. But the fact that you have brought such a light and such representation to so many people, like, I'm sure that you've got people from all around the world that follow you, not just, like, in the UK and stuff.
Yeah, oh my gosh, Max. Like, I mean, it depends, I guess, which video. Like, you'll know this, like, depends whether they go on the FYP or whatever. So, most of the time it's like, America. It's crazy. It's like,
it's weird. Yeah. I look at my what would you call it, like, your stats. I can't remember. There's like an official word for it.
Is it analytics?
Analytics, that's the one. I knew there was a word for it. And I look at it, and only, I think the other day I looked, less than 50% of my followers are from the UK. And then I think,
what on earth? Like, how do you even find me funny? I feel like I am like quintessentially British, like to the point where if I wasn't from the UK, I probably wouldn't even understand what I was saying. So then I'm like, how on earth do people from like America follow me? It's so bizarre, but yeah. TikTok's
this
wild.
This means we have to take on the States, babe, like me and you. Like,
oh,
this is
absolutely. We're going on a tour.
Yeah.
We're going on a tour. We're straight up raving around the States.
Straight up raving.
Oh my God. So now, are you in a position? So you've always done like creative jobs. Like you said that you worked in journalism and like presenting and stuff. Is social media now your full-time job?
Yeah, my everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Is it yours?
No, so I, well, it all happened for me. I'm on my placement year at uni. I've still not done my degree. So I'm in London now. And then in September, I'm going back to Newcastle to finish my final year of my degree. So right now I'm on a placement year, I work for like a really big company and I do marketing and I'm on a placement year, and it's been so weird because just as I started working for them is when everything started to take off. So it's so bizarre. Like last month, I made more money from social media and stuff than I did in my actual paycheck. And I'm like, this is so bizarre. Like, what's going on? It's just so wild. Honestly, you're like, how on earth?
Yeah, literally only the past few months I've been able to sort of say that. But yeah, like, it's insane, isn't it? You're just like, wow, this thing that I'm doing right here is actually quite...
Because it starts off, especially for me, as just like a fun thing that I was doing. Like I first started just making videos about like pop culture and things that I I had like an influx of random knowledge that I'd gained throughout my life of just being a weirdo and like researching why Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears fell out at the age of like 12. So I had so much knowledge and I was like, I may as well just post this online. And then, like you mentioned at the beginning, you find like your people, quote unquote, who like also have similar interests to you. And then before I know it, I've built this like big group of peers. I feel like we're just in a big fat group chat and we're just like all get along. Like I feel like if I met any of my followers in person, we probably would like get along and be mates. It's so weird.
Yeah. The whole thing about TikTok really being just literally just through a screen, it kind of becomes real, like when you're just like, oh my God, my people. And I agree with you, like,
and especially in this last year.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I feel like you, like, my intention was to go on and educate. It wasn't necessarily to like be, but no, I love it. Yeah. I think now my intention is to make this an absolute thing. And,
oh,
like,
absolutely,
let's go for it. So,
absolutely, yeah, 100%.
And also roping you into that song, babe. Like, what did you think?
Oh my gosh. So I literally, obviously, made the video, and then like I remember it got like hundred thousand likes, and I was like, oh wow, because to me it was literally just like I'd just done a run on the treadmill, and I heard I'd seen like a few of your videos before. And then I saw that one and I was like, her voice literally sounded like a beat drop. I was like, what is going on? I was like, it's so, like, just like the highs and lows of that specific clip. I was like, it just got stuck in my head. So then I went back through my liked videos and I was like, I just need to find this. And then I finished my run and I did it. And I was just like, how does a blind girl know what's in a jar? And I was saying it all day. I just posted it and then randomly that went like everywhere. And I was like, what is going on? And then it was pretty much like a month later, I just get tagged in this video about 10 times. And I was like, what? And then it was that. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is brilliant. I was like, this is the best. I was literally jumping around my kitchen. Like, what? I tried to explain to my mum how iconic it was. And she was just like, Max, what on earth is going on? I was like, Joanne, you have no idea. This is the remix of the century. And then when we started messaging and you was like, Ollie's done a full version, I was like, this is every dream I've ever had coming true. I didn't know this was my dream this morning, but now it's what I will die for. I couldn't believe it. And then when he sent it over and I could just envision myself, I was like, I need to lay some vocals more on this track.
Yeah.
I was like, I sent them over, didn't I? And then I was just waiting. I was literally just like rocking in a ball, waiting for you to send it back to me. And Ollie did it so quick. I was like, is this guy a professional musician? Because what's going on here? It literally was like over the next day. And I was like, oh my days. And then I was trying to like keep it a secret from my friends. I was like, right, so something insane may or may not be happening very soon. I was like, I might just send it to you. So I sent them like the snippet of like your video, and they were like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, imagine if it was a full song. And I was like, you don't even know.
No.
You don't know the half of it.
You don't know the half of it, love. Honestly.
Oh, honestly, it was brilliant. And then all the things that happened after it, like wild, just wild.
It's insane, isn't it? And it just when, like, yeah, 16 in the dance charts we got.
When I rang you and I was like, this has just happened, and you was like, it might be going on Radio One, and then we was like, have you seen where it is in the chart? I didn't even know. I was just working from home, and then I got like a message like, oh, have you seen that it's 16 in the charts? I was like, are you kidding me?
Kidding me? Maybe like, at least why one babe, you know, like why
oh
not?
Yeah. Honestly, I couldn't believe it. I was in a state of shock, and I was just trying to explain to my family, like, you don't realize how insane. I think they thought it was like a silly thing that I was just like doing with one of my friends until it was in the iTunes charts. And then they were like, this is actually really, and then they like properly listened to it, and they were like, it's like, you don't even, my stepdad thought that it was say, he listened to the whole thing. And then I was like, do you like it? And he's not a man of many words. And he was just, and after it, he just went, is it saying, how does a blind girl drive a car? And I was like, no. I was like, no. And then I realized how ridiculous it is to just impose that on someone with no background knowledge of TikTok or the videos. And I was like, do you know what? I don't even have the time to explain this. I think I'll just leave it.
You know what? I love it though, because it's like, it does make people inquisitive, because it's so random and so like out there that you'd never, like, it's only me, you and Ollie that our crazy minds would go there.
Absolutely. But like you say, it has started many conversations, and it's done its job whilst also being a sick song. I cannot wait until it's like on in a club. I guarantee it's gonna happen somewhere.
I need to be with you the first moment.
Oh my gosh.
In London. Like, I'm ready.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, what, like, do you watch RuPaul's Drag Race? Like, have you heard of it?
Yes, queen.
So Tia Coffey, who was on season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race UK just then, she was on my podcast not last week, the week before. And we started the interview, and she was like, I just need to ask you a question. And she was like, how does a blind girl know what's in a jar? And she's obsessed with it. She was like, it's catchier than UK Hun, which is like the song that's in the charts at the minute. Oh, honestly, people, like, it's so bizarre the amount of people that know it, or like have just randomly tweeted, like, how does a blind girl know what's in a jar?
And I'm like, yes.
It's wild.
It's crazy, honestly. Like, we just need to meet first, and I cannot wait to meet you.
I know, honestly, me too. I cannot wait. It'll be just the most fun experience. Oh, it's wild. But like, speaking of what, so much has happened to you in such a short amount of time. What's the coolest thing that you think's happened?
Oh my God. I mean, everything that we just said, like the whole TikTok experience, I would say that is the main thing that's really, really made me feel like that I've had a new wave of acceptance and love from everything. You know, I went from someone who got refused in taxis and kind of, with my guide dog. And now, you know, I haven't been in a taxi for a year because we can't go out anywhere. But now I'm greeted by people and they're like, oh my God, Lucy from TikTok. It's like, it's not just Lucy the blind girl, even though it is. Yeah. And I love about that. But like, it's a different wave of acceptance that I've never felt before. And it honestly chokes me up every single time. And I'd say that's the best experience I've ever had. Second to that, I love presenting a show on Radio One. So yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. That was so cool.
Oh, thanks, babe. Honestly, like, it was in December 2019, and I was like, oh my God, this is so insane. Like, this is so insane.
and you know, think how widespread Radio 1 is, like how many young disabled people probably heard you.
I know, this is the thing, like it was like there'd been no other presenter who was blind ever, like no producers had ever worked with a blind person in the history of the station, and I want to be a first, but
It's also rubbish that you are the first and that this hasn't happened before, but you're absolutely special. It's so bizarre that at the beginning of this, you said that you went out like searching for your people and then you became that person for so many people.
Oh, no, honestly, like, it still chokes me up that like it's happening and that I am privileged enough that everyone likes what I do and likes what I say. Like, it's just incredible. Still, I wake up every morning and I feel so grateful and thankful that I can have a platform to make a difference and meet amazing people like you. So,
Lucy, you're making me blush. No, honestly, you're amazing. So since it's all happened, obviously your main purpose was to educate and everything. I feel like I don't even need to ask this question. I was going to ask, do you feel a responsibility to bring awareness? Like, does it sometimes get a bit too much? Are you like, I'm the only person doing this, like there's so much responsibility on me? Or do you feel as though those years that you've had like overcoming your trauma have built you up to be like, do you know what, no, I'm ready for this, I'm gonna take every opportunity that I can to make it happen so that other people don't have to go through what I've been through?
Exactly that, babe. Like, I think before, maybe when I started on the internet, I probably wasn't ready. Like, as a 17-year-old going, I'm newly blind, and I was very fragile. Like, but now, like, I really, like, I understand why people want to question, like, whether I can brush my teeth and all these things, because that's what I questioned, you know? I questioned whether I had the ability to do that, because you know, all everyone's doing is going, oh my gosh, I don't know how I would do that if I was blind. And I had those same things. So I totally get it. And I think I am strong enough to take those questions, because people mean no harm by them at all. Like, people are just inquisitive, and it's how I would be. And I feel a responsibility now that this is my mission in my life, for everyone to know how a blind girl knows what's in a jar and all these other things, and also know that blind people are independent. We can be professionals, we can be beauty influencers, we can be TikTokers, and you know, we are here and we want to be heard. And we're like, you know, just because my eyes don't work doesn't mean I'm not a normal human. So whatever.
Absolutely, 100%. Like, I think that one of the main reasons why you've gained, like, and there is such a market for you and everything that you do, is that you do answer those questions that people are maybe too nervous to ask, or like don't want, especially nowadays, like nobody wants to offend anybody. So people might think it's rude. And I imagine it is rude if you just randomly met a blind person in public, you wouldn't ask them, how do you do this? Like, that is like making a spectacle out of them. But you breaking down those barriers and opening up that conversation in a way that, like, I've watched obviously like thousands of your videos, you start off by like saying it, but then you go into a deep description of why, not only how you do it, but why it's important. And that does give such like a background knowledge to someone with sight as to why like awareness and funding and these little gadgets that you have are so important. So I really think that you're breaking down so many barriers and you're doing it just flawlessly. I think you're smashing it. But why, so from your perspective, why do you think that people are like hesitant to ask questions like that?
Just think it's because no one's met anyone who's blind. And I think also because it is quite like, it can be, if you say something possibly quote unquote wrong in a way, like it maybe can offend. And I understand both kind of parts of the puzzle. I understand the worry in approaching, because there's not necessarily etiquette or a way to do things. And also, every person who's blind is also different and has different levels of sight. So it's a crazy minefield to wrap your head around when you're not in that community or haven't had that life experience. And I think this is why it's so important for someone to go, you know, at least I can ask Lucy, at least I can, you know, literally people can ask me anything. I don't even mind. It doesn't offend me, like, because I have the strength and the convictions to put myself out there and do that. I know what I'm doing. I have the ability. Like, I'm 25. Like, I understand that, you know, sometimes possibly people would be worried, and I want to tell people it, no question is offensive to ask me, but obviously, you know, there is a wider disabled community, and I am not every blind person. So I do try and get that message out there as well. But I think, you know, I think I would be worried. I think, you know, I was sighted for 17 years of my life, obviously with visual impairments and stuff, but I never really need, like, I needed a bit of a cane. But I could see, and, you know, I would be worried. I would be worried to go up to other blind people or other disabled people and ask them what they needed or wanted, you know?
Yeah.
And I understand that. I do.
And I think what you're doing is so important, because, like I said, it is breaking down barriers, and it's starting a conversation that needs to be had, even if the way that it's being started is in the form of a hardcore drum and bass song, you know?
Yeah.
You never, like, it, sometimes these things just need to happen. But it all has a positive outcome in the end. So, last question from me, and then we've had some sent in. And by the way, I put on Instagram, like, send in some questions. I legitimately think, I didn't count them, I think I've got over 100 emails that just said, if you could guess it, how does a blind girl know what's in a jar? That, like, literally over and over again, they just kept coming in. And then, so I've picked out a few other questions that we have not actually covered yet. So yeah, but last question from me, if you were in charge of the world right now and you could do three things to help like disabled people, blind people, what would they be?
Wow. I would label every single package with tactile packaging. Like, everywhere, like food, groceries, everything. Like, I would, what else would I do? I would make sure that when you go online, every single image on Google was completely audio described. So, like, you know, the alt text that you can do. Because at the moment, like, I go on Instagram and like 99% of them aren't, which is, you know, a struggle. But I think,
and that's something that we need to talk about as well, because that's something that I recently heard you talking about. So then the last time I uploaded a picture, I was looking at it and I didn't really know what it was before. So like, if you don't mind explaining, like, the process behind that and, like, what that is, just before you give your last reason on why you would change the world.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, I think so basically alt text, honeys, is, so you can go into, I think Twitter and Instagram have this. So basically, it's just in the settings. I wish it was a bit higher up, actually, because, of course, Max, like, you wouldn't necessarily know about it, honey, so don't worry. Basically, what you do is, when you upload an image, you can go into the settings in the social media platform, and there's something called alt text, which is called alternative text, which basically means you can do a few short sentences sort of describing what that image is. And I've put out a TikTok video on how you sort of do that. It's the Friends Can Describe acronym. So, like, F for focal point. So, like, when you first look at that image, what do you see? So, like, say if Max is standing there, you'd say, Max is standing there. He has, you know, X hair, or X, he's wearing X, or he's, you know, that's the focal point. And then can, so Friends Can Describe, C is, like, the context. You're going to put you in context. So, like, what's behind you? Max is all of those things, but he's also standing, like, by a pool or a seaside or wherever. And then D for Friends Can Describe. So D is detail. So, you know, what is the detail of that photo? You know, are you tall, short? And what are the little frilly bits can you add to that image? So if you wanted to, like, sort of go on that for three sentences on how you describe something, and you just put it in those settings. And you can also do it on Google as well. It's a bit more of a cut, like, a bit, not a kerfuffle, but, like, kind of in the setting of the image. But best way to do it.
And like, little things like that, you just don't even, like, it's not extremely clear on, like, the user platform of, like, Instagram and stuff. So guys, definitely start giving your pictures some alt text, please. Thank you very much.
Give them a ring sweet day. Why not?
So what was the last, so we've just gone from like a nice little bit of description. So what is the final way that you would change the entire world, Lucy?
Change the world. Oh my God. I think, I just want like everyone to be queens. So like, I would just, if everyone had RuPaul's philosophy on life, like just be yourself and everyone just completely like had no filters and just, I love RuPaul and his whole philosophy, so he's just
really
amazing.
Amazing. Do you know what, I think that the world would be a better off place if you were in charge, Lucy.
Honestly,
so we've had, I've got two questions to read out that we got sent in. So this first one is from Megan. She said, hi, I'm a big fan of yous both, and I have a question for Lucy. Was it hard navigating love whilst being blind? Also, do you think it's a better thing as you love someone for them, who they are as a person, and not just their looks?
You know what, I love that, and I think I'm going to do a TikTok on it. I love that so much. But I think... ultimately my answer is like me and my fiance have grown together, and our relationship very much isn't like about how we look, but it's just about like the hobbies we do and the hobbies we share. And like maybe controversially, I always say my fiance went blind with me. He's completely totally sighted, and he's a visual effects artist in his job and his career. So like completely like in the sighted world. But I just think like he saw my emotion and the trauma that I went through then, and our love is way more than that. But what I would also say is that, like, just being a blind woman and finding myself, like, I do know that now I am bisexual, and I just feel like unpacking that. I've still got a lot to unpack, but I think I just think I love in maybe a different way, possibly. But I was so young as well, so it's hard to say.
Oh yeah, of course. We've got the rest of our blooming lives to figure out what we are, who we like, what colour we like. Do you know what I mean? And you just always, can I just say as well, I always love the backgrounds of your videos. I don't know whether this is a background or if you just have beautifully painted walls in your house, but I love all the bright colours. Every time it's just like your signature, like the most bright colours ever. Love it.
Literally, like, that's what I'm like, I want to spring onto people's screen and go, you can be happy. So he's painted, like, my fiance painted this, he's amazing. So it's not spawn but valspar.
Oh gosh. Right, so last question that we got sent in, this is from Rebecca. So she says, hi, Max and Lucy. Love you both. I have a question for Lucy. Now you have been blind for so long and your entire life has adapted to it, would you go back if you had the chance, or are you content? I can't wait to hear the episode. You are both absolute icons. Love, Rebecca.
Oh, Rebecca, you were an icon queen. Thank you so much for your question. Oh my gosh, it's such a good one as well. I think... to be honest, if I just got my eyesight tomorrow, I would obviously want to see everyone's faces, but I think it would be really scary. And again, I think I would go through that trauma thing. Like, I think I wouldn't know what to look at first. It would be so much stimulation. I would be like, oh my gosh, like, I think I'd be a bit ill, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It would be so overwhelming. Yeah, like, I think I'd need rehabilitation a bit. Yeah. Like, back in the sighted world. Like, even though I was sighted for 17 years, like, I don't really remember what pores look like on the face. Or, like, I don't know. I don't know why I picked that, but you know what
I mean. That was a really specific thing there, Lucy.
I know. I always think about that when I'm applying my makeup. I'm like, what, you know, my pore-filling primer right now, you know, that's weird. Like, what am I feeling? Anyway. So that's my answer. I think it'd be weird. I don't think I'd want to just get my sight back instantly. I think
a gradual process, maybe, if you have the choice. But all in all, that you strike me as someone that is heavily adapted and has a great life.
Yeah, no, honey, I totally agree. I think I don't want it back sitting here right now. Like, I think if I'm thinking about tomorrow and what could be, that's how I got quite ill before. Like, if I keep thinking about me not being good enough and all these other things, which is my own brain, you know, but if I kept thinking, oh, well, tomorrow I'll be different, then it's not good for me. So,
Oh, well, I just think you're absolutely... I mean, I've said it about 10 times now, but I just think that you're absolutely smashing it. I think that you are doing wonders for TikTok, wonders for the disabled community. Like, honestly, just keep doing it, Lucy. Keep smashing through. Keep breaking down those barriers. And I have no doubt that you will continue to do so. Clap for Lucy, everybody. Clap for Lucy. Oh, thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast. I cannot express how, as soon as everything happened, I already had guests lined up and I was literally like, I wish I didn't have guests lined up because I just want to speak to Lucy, like, especially whilst everything with the song was going on. I was like, I need to know everything. But yeah, I just think you're so inspirational and I have no doubt that it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And by that, I mean your career, not your pores, because you're using your professional primer, so you'll be fine.
Thank you so much for having me on, and we'll definitely do more stuff in the future. I can absolutely see a big
Frisbo. Absolutely. Like I said, I can't wait to meet you in person.
Yeah. Oh, lots of love.
Thank you so much for coming on. Right, everybody, we're going to take a little break and then we will be back soon. It'll just be me speaking because Lucy's going to go. So thank you very much for coming on, Lucy. And everybody, I will speak to you in a minute. Hello everybody, we are a little bit back. How lovely were that conversation? What an absolute gem in the world. Like, seriously. When I made the first video about her, well, of her, and of me, it was just like a funny thing, because like I thought it was funny that it said, how does a blind girl know what's in a jar? And like her voice and everything was just so like musical and melodic, I guess. And it literally just got stuck in my head. And I had no idea that I would get to learn so much just fascinating things from someone that is such a lovely person and so just so important to the world. I really think that she's bringing so much awareness to something. Like, I didn't realise, even just before today after speaking to her, I didn't realise the struggles that disabled people fully face at all. Not one bit. Like, I just ran to the shop then. That's not possible. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. And, like, it's so important. The things that she's doing are very important. And I'm buzzing that she's just going to keep on smashing it because she is a legend. She actually is. And she's a proper, nice, normal, down-to-earth, lovely person as well. And that is delightful. Sorry, everybody. It's so late and I'm so tired. Oh, I don't think I've ever yawned on the pod before. I'm sorry, I'm literally exhausted. I was going to go Instagram live after this, but I'm too tired. I think I'm just going to have to go straight to Big Fat Bed. I'm literally shattered. But yeah, God, I can hear bloody... Sounds like fireworks outside. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to round up this episode by just saying, love you all lots. I'm going to throw it back to what we used to do before. I spent the whole episode just like interviewing people, and I'm going to say one thing. We're going to do something serious, but the whole episode had many serious parts to it, so I feel like I'm just going to not do that. We'll just keep it breezy. So I'll talk about something that I like and something that I dislike. And this week, the thing that I like, just off the top of my head, is the fact that the Vlog Squad and David Dobrik are being finally taken down. They're being big fat demolished. And if anybody's been keeping up with it, it is a thrill and a half. Oh my God. Basically, David Dobrik has done loads of shady stuff in his past and just uses people as, like, chess pieces in his path to get richer. And him and the entire Vlog Squad are just a bit dumb fucks, really. I used to love them. I used to think they were so funny. I never really got a lot of the humour. Obviously, it was, like, straight
bro humor, but I just thought their life was so cool that they were so rich and they would do stuff. And then when I learned that a lot, it was like a lot of it was set up, I was like, oh, I don't really care for it anymore. Like, I never really got the senses of humor that much, just because like, I have a different sense of humor. But I did used to find watching his videos quite interesting. Oh my god, I'm gonna yawn again. I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. I did used to find watching his videos. I bet you're all yawning now, aren't you? I bet you're yawning because when you hear someone else yawn, or if you're not, I'm talking about yawning now, so I bet you're gonna yawn. Watch this. 3, 2, 1, yawn central. Yawn. Do a big fat yawn. Anyway, yeah, they're finally being taken down. He's done loads of racist shit, it's like weird sexual assault things, like forced rape for like his vlog. Like, got underage girls to get drunk and then had his friend have sex with them. Like, proper weird stuff. And he's finally just being held accountable for it. And Trisha and Ethan on their podcast Frenemies are, like, documenting the whole thing. And it's just a big fat thrill. And I'm loving every second of it. Right. And then something this week that, to be honest with you, I don't really like. I don't know if any of you watched my TikTok live that I did last night. It would have been Sunday night for you guys. But I basically got requested by this person, and I'd never seen him before, no idea who he was, and he was extremely rude. And we got into basically an hour-long argument where he just kept trying to hurl abuse at me, and I just said that he had no lip and that he looked like a pug. And I just find in those situations, if you just remain like really calm and just like take the piss out of them a little bit, then they just get really riled up. And that's what he did. And he was getting so wound up and it was brilliant. And I just don't like him. I don't like him. But I enjoyed the situation. It was very funny. And he's literally in the break just then, whilst I put Lucy's segment in, he tweeted at me. He tweeted at Rebecca Vardy, like quote tweeting my tweet, "Come and get your animal, it's off its leash." And I was like, fuck off. I tweeted that he looks like the, what's he called? I've not even said his name. He's called Ryan Mark, Mark Ryan or something. I don't know, I'd literally never heard of him before. Apparently he's just like a massive Tory and like people laugh at him because he's like mega posh or something. I have no idea, but he's a twat. And he was like so classist and just a big fat wanker, and I twatted him and put him in his place because I don't like him. Yeah, and that was fun. It was, I actually really enjoyed it, I'm not gonna lie. And yeah, so that's it really. I'm gonna yawn again. I'm so sorry guys, and I'm sure that I've gone from like being I had to film this last bit, but then the shops were gonna close and I had to go and get some things before they closed. And yeah, it's just been a bit of a nightmare. So I'm really tired because it's very late and I had like no sleep last night. Oh my god, sorry to just complain. I'm so grateful that you're all listening. I hope that you've had a lovely time listening. I hope that you're having a lovely day. I hope that you're enjoying season 2 so far and it's not like too much with all these interviews. Like I said, next week I think I'm gonna do it just by myself. That's not confirmed yet, but we'll see. But yeah, I'm just so grateful for you all guys. I'm really sleepy, so I'll just be honest. I'm so bloody grateful that you all want to listen. Still very bizarre to me. I just FaceTimed the guy that I'm speaking to, and he was talking about my podcast, and he said, oh, he might like have to go back and listen. And then I started to think about how weird it is, like from episode 1, how I used to get even excited over the soundboard. Like, it used to give me the biggest thrill and I like couldn't contain my excitement. And now I've just like got used to this, but like I enjoy it more. I don't know, I still really enjoy it, and it's so cool to me that, like, I'm just in my room right now just chatting and you're all listening. Like, that is weird. Like, quite a few people listen and I'm just chatting. It's so weird, and it's so weird that you even care to do it, but thank you so much. And love you all genuinely lots. Please book a cameo because I need the money and I love chatting to you. I'm open and honest about, like, anything. Like, because I never, like, came into it wanting to be, like, a social media person or whatever, like, as soon as I get any money, I like need money, I'm gonna be so honest about it, because I'm not, like, I don't see the point in like hiding it. Like, yeah, I'm not very well off. I'm not gonna hide that. I'm not gonna pretend like I am. So I need some big fat money. So if you're wanting a cameo and you're wanting to, yeah, I'm just going to chat. I'm tired now, so I'm going to stop speaking. But thank you guys. Honestly, love you all lots. And no, I've just said that about 10 times, but I'm a bit delirious, so let me be. And I hope you had a lovely little...
How does a blind girl know what's in a jar?
Oh, he just popped out. A lovely little bit of Balag Day. Love you lots. Thank you. Have a lovely day. Have a lovely evening. Have a lovely week. See you bloody next week.
1, 2, 3.